Let us turn to Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 4. Genesis 45, 1 through 4. Hear now the very word of the Lord. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." May God bless this reading to our good understanding. This chapter is fairly long, and it's very, very involved. But today I just wanted to cover the first part of this, and especially what is involved in terms of the Joseph's human emotion. Because we've been studying this for quite a while, this development of Joseph in Egypt and the brothers coming and going back and forth, going back to their father, coming back again, leaving Simeon there in Egypt and Judah's role and all of this kind of thing. It's been going on in the and opening and becoming more clear. I said last week that through all of chapter 44, there's a kind of building tension because we know that the man standing before these brothers is none other than Joseph. But as Joseph tells the tale, they don't know it yet. And so they're standing before him as if they're standing before some high-level bureaucrat from some foreign country in whom they have no knowledge or awareness. And then suddenly we come to these verses in chapter 45 where Joseph finally discloses himself. And I think one of the things that's most noticeable here, or most worthy of notice, is the evident love that you see in Joseph for these brothers, and at the same time a commiserate absence of hatred that is so unlike what we see in the world, where feuds are perpetuated and people seem to protect their hatreds and cultivate their animosities toward one another. And I would say that this is a great proof of the presence of the Holy Spirit and a great proof of gospel love that we see in Joseph here. Now, this is before the coming of Christ, but Joseph and the other Old Testament people still believed in the gospel. They just didn't know that it was the gospel of Christ, but they knew that God had promised to make provision for them. And the Holy Spirit was certainly in them, sanctifying them and working with them. And that's the kind of thing that you see in Joseph in these first four verses. We see, first of all, in the first sentence, that it says Joseph could not restrain himself before all who stood before him. Joseph had had his brothers stand before him twice before, and he had talked with them over an extended period of time. Now they had come back, and they were at his house, and as he looked upon them, now these are brothers who had sold him into slavery. These are brothers who had discussed killing him, and they were persuaded that they should take the lesser of two evils, namely to sell him into bondage rather than to kill him. But that wasn't much consolation for a man like Joseph. And the brothers didn't know what God had done. The brothers only knew that they had sold their brother into slavery. Joseph had come through a twisted and torturous path, but the hand of God had been upon him. And now these brothers come back into his presence. And we see that despite all the evil that they had done to him, he could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. The Holy Spirit of God had a plan that was to raise up these 12 tribes into a nation which would represent the Lord God. People have complaints about the church today. The church is not this. The church is not that. But at least the church today has not sold one of its own into slavery into some foreign land, as his brothers did to Joseph. But here's Joseph having pity, having a fond memory and a desire after his brothers, somewhat, undoubtedly, somewhat influenced by the promises that God had made to this family, back to Abraham, regarding the nation that God would create. But as Joseph, as they stand before Joseph, it says that he could not restrain himself anymore. And so he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. We see, secondly, that he weeps aloud. He was tortured by all that had taken place with him, so that he is driven to tears and a kind of a twisted remorse or at least an explosion of emotion, so that the Egyptians and those others that were outside could hear it, what was going on inside. Despite all of the turmoil of Joseph's life, and we can see that that comes out here in the tears and in the breakdown before his brother, despite all of that, we see that he has this affection for his brothers. And then he says to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" Now you notice that the brothers, it says in verse 3, could not answer him, for they were so dismayed at his presence. The brothers were astounded at this declaration. "I am Joseph. Does my father still live? I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" What were they thinking when they heard this declaration? They would know that if this was some Egyptian, he would have no knowledge of what their brother's name was. They had not said their brother's name earlier. They just said that they had a brother, that something had happened. He had died. And now this is Joseph standing before him, before them, and they couldn't answer him because it says they were dismayed in his presence. They already, we saw how in verse 16 of the previous chapter, how Judah had said, "God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also, with whom the cup was found." And so Judah has a sense of guilt in his own heart that when things evil took place around him, he, like a compass, pointed to that same spot, that same hurt, that same offense that had been done so many years before, admitting before the Lord that there were things hidden in his life for which this was a comeuppance, a curse that had befallen him. And here the brothers are, and Joseph declares, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" Just amazing. The brothers can't speak, but Joseph speaks to them. Verse 4, he says, "Please come near to me." These were not words of anger. These were not words. Usually when we're angry, we are driven away from people at which we're angry. We must run out ourselves or we drive them out. But this is just the opposite. Joseph calls his brothers to come near to him. So they come near and he says, "I am Joseph, your brother." Now first he said he was Joseph, but now he reminds them, "I am Joseph, your brother." We're part of a group. We're part of the 12 tribes of Israel, or Jacob. And I'm just one of you. Even the title that he uses here identifies himself as one, as a peer among the others, a kind of elder among the consistory or the session of elders. But in this case, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Now we'll see that he goes on to talk about this quite a bit. But I want to just focus on this amazing willingness on Joseph's part to behave in a loving way, a friendly way, with theological insights before his brothers who had treated him so viciously. Where does this come from? Where does this kind of personality come from? Where do the sentiments of these actions, where do they come from? We think back to some of the slaughters that have taken place in recent years in Africa between various tribes, tribes that have remembered blood feuds from 20 years ago and 40 years ago and 50 years ago and 100 years ago, certain areas like Rwanda, the Tutsis, and a movie that was made, Hotel Rwanda. And this is certainly a different human emotion than that. In the parlance of typical human psychology, if Joseph had gotten his brothers in a place like this, he might have saved Benjamin, but he would have tortured all the rest. He would have put them in a jail cell, and then he would have brought them out one at a time to toy with them like a cat might toy with a mouse and give them back some retribution of which for which they deserved, something that was equal to what he had endured in his many years in prison and captive by these slaveholders. But instead of all that, we have the very opposite. We have a sentiment that comes out of Joseph. We see that instead of it being poisoned and toxic, instead of it being hatred, it's full of love and full of affection. Where does this come from? Well, in the New Testament, Jesus talks about how bitter fruit does not come from a sweet tree, and sweet fruit does not come from a bitter tree. He says, by their fruit you shall know them. And here we see that Joseph is definitely evidencing the fact that there's redemptive work going on in his heart and his soul. I'm reminded of the Venerable Bede. I used to use his book in my Christ and Culture class at Christ College. And I remember reading in Bede's history, early history of the English nation, and he covered northern England, where some of the Scottish tribes had influenced as well as England. And Bede talks about how with the coming of Christ to the culture of Great Britain, that the darkness and the viciousness, the coldness, he uses these metaphors like hot and cold and light, that the darkness and the coldness of paganism began to break down under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you survey the literature, the English literature before the coming of Christ to the United Kingdom, he says, all you see are wars and blood feuds, and the greater the hatred, the greater the contempt for the other tribe, the greater the human being in that kind of literature. And then, he said, then you see the coming of Christ. And you see, as it were, the lion tamed. You see these pagan impulses, these hatreds, these vicious, bloodthirsty dreams that seem to direct the lives of these people. You see those dreams begin to dissipate. And in their place, you see something called love. And Bede was so amazed and so impressed with the fact that these wild, savage-like tribesmen could be made human, in a sense, could be responsive to each other, could, instead of lusting after the blood feud, could suddenly begin to be more concerned for the kingdom of God than their tribe or this or that hurt or offense that had troubled them heretofore. Well, you see, this is one of the most basic effects of the gospel when it touches us as human beings. And we see the proof of that, we see the evidence of it in the life of Joseph. Today, we're living in a day when the societies are becoming further and further from the gospel, and so we're seeing more and more of a reverse process where people are becoming more and more cruel with one another and more, or I should say less and less indulgent of one another. And we're seeing people talk on one level about friendship and society and love and that sort of thing. And underneath, though, we see it's like a pressure cooker. We see more and more the pressure rising up from anger and hatred against one another. And so I would argue here that this the story of Joseph and his brothers, as Joseph comes out of and makes this announcement, this is just the first part of it, but the lovely thing is we see that instead of hating his brothers, instead of holding a feud against them, Joseph seems to have nothing but the bright love of the gospel for them. He's put them through many tests. He's seen them be humbled, and now his heart cannot take it any longer. He longs for all of those promises that were made to Abraham. He longs for them to begin to come to pass in his family's fortune. And he will play a great role in bringing those to pass. So much so that Levi cannot receive an inheritance because he's a priest. And so Joseph's two sons are ultimately chosen. Ephraim and Manasseh are chosen to take to receive two parts of the inheritance, Joseph's and then Levi's, in this great promise that was given unto Abraham that they would have a land of themselves. And so God blesses Joseph. God blesses the genuineness and the liberality of Joseph's heart. He blesses the spirit of the gospel that's coursing through Joseph's life. We live in a day, as I said, that is somewhat opposite, and we're called to not be gullible and to protect ourselves and to be as protective of our lives as we can be, when it comes to this part of it, I believe that we're called to be vulnerable with people today, and especially when we're doing gospel work with people, and be ready to be taken advantage of for the sake of the gospel, because the Holy Spirit will use our labors if we are insulted or if we are slightly harmed, if we allow people to make conspiracies against us and we don't respond in like hateful ways, that is a witness in and of itself for this new way, this different way of thinking, which was absent from the world for its whole history until the coming of the Lord, working with the people of God before Christ and then certainly coming in the coming of Christ. It's a wonderful testimony to the fact that there is a God and that His ways are a wonderful improvement on what humanism came up with, either ancient humanism or modern humanism. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we live in a day where we see a lot of wrong being done and we see people that are so deficient in terms of spiritual things, and yet we need to reach out to them like Joseph reached out to his brothers. We need to have our eye on the bigger promise, the promise that thou wilt build thy kingdom, that thou wilt bring people like the hateful Saul who consented unto the murder of Stephen, and the hateful brothers of Joseph who sold him into slavery, that you will take people like this and you will save them and you will sanctify them and you will make patriarchal heads out of them that would be prototypes for the Church of Christ and the Kingdom of God. Bless us today, O Lord, in this growingly hostile climate. help us to be willing to suffer hardship for ourselves in order to win some for the kingdom of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.